Welcome to the AW360 Live Podcast, brought to you in association with Acast Marketplace, the home of podcast buying globally.
Acast Marketplace is the home of podcast buying globally. It's the world's biggest, most creative, fully brand-safe podcast exchange, connecting thousands of advertisers with millions of immersed listeners across every podcast player and platform there is. Global scale, quality content, innovative tools, and unrivaled creativity. Acast Marketplace for smart advertisers.
Thank you for listening to the AW360 Live Podcast from Advertising Week. On today's episode, I'll be speaking with Ashwin Naveen. Ashwin is CEO and co-founder of Samba TV, a data and analytics service that measures television viewership using data from internet-connected devices and set-top boxes. In our conversation, Ashwin and I discuss the roles of internet-connected televisions and set-top boxes in what turned out to be a spectacularly strange year for the entire industry. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the AW360 Live Podcast from AW2020. Today, I have Ashwin Naveen from Samba TV. Ashwin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me on.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about Samba TV.
Well, Samba is a TV data and analytics company. We've been in business for 12 years. We've built a massive amount of TV data that's being used as a source of truth for major brands, advertisers, that are really trying to understand how to approach television in 2020 and going beyond. What's the future of television advertising and how can we get it to work harder than it ever has before?
And when we think TV in the modern world, that can mean any number of things. It's almost like what was once simply a term used to describe a single product is now all manner of video programming across multiple platforms. Is that correct in how you work with it?
Absolutely. I think there's an arcane version of that definition, which I think no one has any relevance anymore, which is that television is no longer just this, you know, device that sits in your living room. Television is a format for video. It reaches all of the screens we use to watch video. And television is when it, you know, is still a very valuable and relevant way of storytelling for content creators and even for advertisers that that want to reach that audience that's bigger than it ever has been.
We use much the same sort of kind of archaic terminology in podcasts where we all tell each other we're going to go tape something, even though most of us haven't seen a tape in the better part of 2.5 decades here. So speaking of that sort of fragmented TV landscape, what sorts of challenges does that pose for you at Samba?
Well, we know that people, you know, spend their time. There's no longer sort of a prime time, you know, in the 20th century model where, you know, the entire family is gathered around the television at, you know, at 7 p.m. every night. That's not happening, as we know. Prime time is all the time on all screens throughout the day. And the engagement with video is higher than it ever has been across all of those screens. And there isn't a single identity, a single view of the customer that's been created. So as a brand, build your messaging on TV through traditional commercials, through streaming video that reaches connected TVs and other devices, there's not a single view of that customer as that customer moves through these disparate platforms. And the way that the world is situated without Samba can lead you down some very bad and negative outcomes where you might be reaching the same people far too many times, and you might be missing a big segment of the population that actually would like to hear your message or hear more about your product. And that's really is a result of having a very fragmented consumer landscape and the lack of data that traverses each of these touch points.
And in terms of viewership trends, especially in 2020, which I would imagine is an anomaly for the year, you know, just in terms of how people view, when they view, what devices they view on, what sort of trends have you seen this year?
Fascinating trends. So, I mean, obviously, Q1 resembled 2019 in many ways, but was, you know, doing very well. And then we have obviously a massive shift as a result of sheltering in place, new ways of living that, you know, put us all at home, that bring, you know, closed schools, and the impact on television was quite profound. You know, first of all, you know, we saw daytime usage of television spike significantly to levels we've never seen before against news programming, given what was going on in the world, you know, in Q2 and with the pandemic, you know, swallowing the whole world. People were very focused on news. Children at home from time to time needed diversion. So we saw a lot of family programming. But, you know, simultaneous to that, new productions in primetime went off the air, sports went off the air. And so you had this very, very disruptive set of forces that pushed people out of linear television and dramatically into streaming video across all screens, and connected TV being a very large beneficiary of that.
And how have those, sorry, go ahead.
And I would just say then, you know, you start to see some shifts as we go into Q3 and Q4 where, you know, sports are back and, you know, some of the sort of, I would say the more sort of fearful viewing patterns that were gluing us to television dissipated going to Q3, but then you get the election cycle coming back. So you get, you know, some new kinds of consumption around news up until this last week, which I'm, you know, I'm happy to get into more specificity around, but very wild year for TV. And all of this has just made TV advertising and brand building extremely challenging, particularly because it's broken all of the traditional methodology for measurement and data.
To what degree are you impressed by or not our ability to kind of shift towards that as advertisers?
This has been a real kick in the butt, you know, for people who've basically been saying, well, you know, I just need to get another couple of years under my belt from a career perspective. I don't really need to do anything different. You know, I'll just pretend this connected TV thing is just another fad. Like, that's not a tenable career option for marketers right now. I think what this year has done is it's pushed us into high gear and reevaluating from the ground up, how are brands going to be built in the 21st century? How are all of these consumer touch points going to connect to each other in a way that we can have a single view of our customers, those that have seen our brand, those that are consuming our products, and those that have not? And how are we going to go reach those people, because they're living a very different life? And you can no longer sort of relegate that to say, well, this is just how the kids are doing things, or this is how millennials are doing things. This is how we're all living today. And a new measurement model, a new data model is table stakes for how brands will be built in 2021. I think the planning cycle in 2021 is going to look much more progressive, very different than any planning cycle we've ever seen before.
Can you elaborate on how you think that'll go?
Yeah, just some specific ideas around that. So, you know, identity, you know, the identity that you have for the longest time on your living room was one that was provided by a very small panel provider in every major country. There's one, you know, that becomes the TV data provider source of record. And that one doesn't really connect with anything else. And then you've got another identity, which might be Google's, then you've got another identity, which might be Facebook's, and then you've got these ad tech identities, and none of them really talk to each other. And that just feels very broken in a way where we're gonna want a single identity that connects to all of these touch points where we're building our brand. And once you have that, once you have a new identity, a way to understand your customers and how they've embraced cord cutting, embraced streaming video, embraced all these other screens and platforms, then you can really start to build a much more holistic plan that puts a lot more emphasis on, you know, having a single view, but also understanding things like reach against a particular segment, frequency against a segment, and then connecting, you know, what we all know is the holy grail for marketing, which is conversion, understanding how each of these touch points uniquely contribute to revenue. And I think what 2020 has done is it's forced us all to go into that direction very decisively, so that every CMO is going into 21 with hopefully the tools and partners they need, that they can go back into their CFO organizations and say, hey, we know exactly how marketing works. There's no longer guesswork around that 50%. We know exactly how each of these things ultimately drive sales.
And do you think that the learnings from 2020 that we'll obviously bring into 2021, because, you know, we're not out of the woods yet with the pandemic, do you think that those will be longer term learnings that will be useful? Or at some point, do we hit a 2022? And let's say, you know, in a perfect world, the pandemic's gone, everybody's fine, we're all, I don't know, within 6 feet of each other, finally with no masks on. How many of those learnings still apply come that time, should it arrive?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely, like, you look at outdoor, for example, you could say, well, you know, of course, 2020 was really abysmal for digital out of home, or, you know, all of these sort of innovations that are happening out of home. You know, hard to imagine that you know, 2021 and beyond will resemble 2020. But in television, our belief is that there's some irreversible trend lines. Like if you had, at the beginning of 2020, if you'd said, hey, what does the future of television look like? I think we would have all agreed it's going to go streaming. It's going to go, everything's going to be dynamic and addressable. But we would have probably differed on the timelines. Some of us may have said, oh, this is a 1 to 3 year horizon. Some might have said 5 to 10. You know, some of the more traditionalists might have said, oh, it'll take 20 years to really see the end of broadcast. But I think what we can all say is that 2020 accelerated trend lines on everything that we knew was inevitable about the future of television. And that trend line now is basically forcing us all to think about, you know, timescales in months, not years. But we know where this is going. Now, when you take a sort of accelerated view, the partners and the approach for 2021 are going to be sort of existential requirements. They're not options. You know, you're sort of existentially required to think about a third of your customers no longer subscribe to cable, mm-hmm. you know, and they're spending hours a day with streaming video, not only on their phones and PCs, but also on their TVs. So if you're sort of treating that as the 12th thing on your media plan that you think about, you know, you'd be missing a massive opportunity at the expense of potentially having your competitors step in and dominate, you know, that segment of the population, which we now consider to be mainstream.
Obviously, a lot of content, you know, really, really big Hollywood blockbuster content was still, you know, prior to this year, making its debut in theaters like it always has, or feels like it always has anyway. You know, we're seeing a shift to, you know, companies like Disney now putting out products like Hamilton or Mulan. You know, content that was destined for the theaters is now having to be moved to streaming. What sort of trends have you seen around programming like that?
That's a great question. I mean, there's not many ways that we can really, you know, the industry can understand this phenomenon, but we've been measuring this very closely at Samba because we actually have our own methodology. We have our own data, you know, that's built into the connected TV operating system. And so that allows us to see, you know, not only the shift from linear to on demand, from cable to OTT, but we can also see the emergence of, you know, first run movies coming direct to streaming, skipping the theatrical window altogether. And so we've been monitoring this very closely. It's a tough year for theatrical. I mean, this is the biggest revenue source for movies right now is the box office. When the box office is closed, you know, we've seen various experiments this year, even in the, as you mentioned with Hamilton, where, you know, Broadway is closed. We've seen how these experiments the studios are undertaking have been sort of embraced or adopted. And so we've been monitoring this very closely. Millions of consumers now are streaming first run movies direct to their television. We've seen, you know, more than 1 million households streamed Mulan direct to their television and paid the $30 to do so. So, you know, you're starting to see the emergence of a box office that's in the home that's using streaming, using existing subscriptions like Disney Plus, or in the case of Borat, you know, was using Amazon Prime as the billing model. Hamilton was included in as part of your Disney Plus base subscription on July 4th weekend. Like, these are all sort of things that are really important and foundational. Alongside that, you know, some studios, we just saw that Tenet was released by Warner Brothers through the box office with, you know, the fragmented landscape of theaters that are actually open in the US and around the world. And now the studios have data to actually make business decisions around whether they want to continue to release their first run movies in the streaming window. My hunch is, just based on the uptake that we've seen for a widely deployed streaming service, that we're going to see a lot more movies come out through this window because, this is the primary way that they want to build their business in the future. It was hard to do when the theaters were holding you hostage and saying, hey, if you put your movie out in streaming, you cut us out, we're never going to let you back in the theaters again. Well, that leverage is sort of gone now. You know, I think that the movie studios have a little bit more free rein to embrace these models. And it's really just going to come down to business decisions of whether, you know, the international theaters or other, or, you know, any individual prediction of when the theaters would open up domestically and how that sort of pencils out from an economic perspective.
Now we're getting to that time of year where it's easier for me to justify buying an even larger television than I already have just so I could see Tenet, because I'll tell you, there's not a theater within 150 miles of me that's actually showing it, despite how many ads I'm fed for it every day. And I really want to see it. You were involved in a panel at AW 2020 called True Cross-Platform Campaign Attribution, which was incidentally presented by Hulu and Disney Ad Sales. Tell us a little bit about the panel.
It was an awesome panel. I mean, the Disney Hulu team has really converged in a way where I don't think you can see this anywhere else right now in the media landscape. A company that's basically dominated traditional media, you know, from the theatrical window through cable and broadcast, and now, you know, with the integration of Hulu, has Hulu, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, a massive portfolio of streaming assets domestically, at Hotstar internationally, and you've got like a tier one media company by all measures, massive reach domestically, internationally, and high quality inventory. But the missing piece is a single view of the customer. Like, how do you bridge the linear platform with the streaming platform in a way that allows a brand to move across them seamlessly, you know, when they buy advertising from Disney? Well, that's what Samba provides. Samba is the missing piece that bridges between linear television and streaming television, streaming video, so that now brands can basically count on their media buy from Disney being optimized against both the traditional and new platforms that Disney has at its disposal. This is the future. And, you know, I think that there's a massive audience that's going to continue to, you know, put an antenna on their roof and get ABC over the air, that they're going to, you know, continue to subscribe to cable because that bundle, you know, provide some value either through a traditional cable service or even through a streaming cable service. And Disney is in all of these platforms. Disney has a massive amount of reach in each of these platforms, and creating a single identity across all these platforms is something that we're deeply collaborating on so that they can provide a better view of the advertising than customers have ever had before.
The last question here for you then is, anytime anybody mentions Hulu in one of these interviews, I always ask, are you an ad-supported subscriber or ad-free subscriber?
Is that a personal question?
Sort of.
So I do get the ad-supported on Hulu. And, you know, I've seen a lot of progress, you know, not only among Hulu, but among others too. And this is something that we're actively focused on, is that, you know, I think that the reason I can deal with the ads is that I think the frequency problem is getting addressed. I think we all felt the pain associated with streaming video with ads, especially in the living room environment where they're non-skippable, but highly repetitive. And that was a huge problem. you know, we've been actively focusing on the identity problem as you move between broadcast and streaming, as you move between streaming providers, that, you know, a big advertiser in the month or the quarter can end up, you know, having frequency of 30, 40, 50 in a month in the same household. I think that destroys great creative. I think this is something that every one of our listeners here today should be thinking about, is no matter how great your creative is, if people have seen it 30, 40, 50 times in a month, they've really destroyed the goodwill associated with that creative. We've got to manage frequency, and the only way to do that is with a single view of the customer.
Excellent. Well, Ashwin, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. This has been most interesting.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Get your brand into the ears of millions of immersed podcast listeners with Acast Marketplace. Podcast sponsorship, ads, and branded content reach niche and mainstream audiences in the most intimate environment. Global scale, quality content, innovative tools, and unrivaled creativity. Acast Marketplace, for smart advertisers.